Hello everybody, and welcome to another episode of State of the Americas. This is episode 9, and today we are having none other than Ryan Dawson, the founder of the Neocon Anti-Neocon Report.
Anti-Neocon, exactly.
Yeah, exactly. Anti-Neocon.
What a glorious day it is. You can break out the champagne because another warmongering lunatic has bit the dust.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. As we have been seeing in the news today, ex-president George Bush, the senior, died today. Sadly, he didn't got prosecuted because of the JFK murder and all the gross stuff that he has been doing. But he did one thing, as Ryan here was saying. He did.
Yes, he died.
That weekend.
Yeah, he bit the dust on the weekend so we could make it easier for everybody to celebrate.
Yeah, so today, my guys, you gotta go to a local bar and drink a shot of maybe whiskey or rum or something to celebrate.
I've had some a few 9% chew highs here in Japan that I could afford, but I wonder if he saw Rand Paul boycotting Israeli aid and that just did him in,
Yeah, talking about Rand Paul.
University of Leeds voted to divest. There was another one in Canada. I don't know the university's name. Canada doesn't really matter. And then Airbnb banned West Bank settlers from being able to post on the website, too. Small victories. Small victories.
Yeah, definitely. As I was saying, as I was talking to Ryan a minute earlier, over here in South America, we can actually have the, I would say, I don't know if the luxury or the ability to call ourselves anti-Zionists, and we are not going to get persecuted because, this is like a gray area where the left and the right agree. Because of the communists over here are completely, they say they are anti-Zionist because they say that Israel is actually a satellite state from the United States. But here we are with Ryan to rearticulate that, and it's actually the opposite in a way. Wouldn't you say about?
Yeah, well, as long as they oppose it, that's fine with me. Like whether it's the tail of the dog or the dog wagging the tail, whichever way. But really, like, Israel's a parasite state, and they're kind of inseparable from the U.S. military-industrial complex because they're just used as a conduit to recycle foreign aid back into corporate subsidies. But then those corporations are joint ventures between both states anyway. So they're just an extension of the worst elements of the United States. It's not like one's controlling the other. It's more like one giant thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Definitely.
Like the F-35, for example, Lockheed's biggest pet project, over $1.5 trillion, which is more than like 1.5 years of the total GDP of Australia. It's spent on one aircraft that doesn't work. And it's jointly built between the U.S. and Israel in Israel, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, a lot of the foreign aid that goes to Israel is recycled right back into pointless military adventures. And it's not like you're paying more for stuff doesn't make it better or stronger. It just makes it more expensive. It's already the strongest you could make it. Otherwise, you wouldn't make it. And they add all these bells and whistles to these planes, and this is just a Bradley fighting vehicle with wings. This is one example. But yeah, Israel, it's a first world country, allegedly, but they get more foreign aid from the United States than any other nation in the world,
mm-hmm.
including the entire 7 times more than the entire continent of Africa, which has a lot of third world countries.
Yeah, also, by the way, if I recall correct, that there is this. There is this fund that comes directly from Germany, if I recall. They are reparations, in their world,
yes.
They are reparations too.
Germany is number 2 behind the U.S. in feeding Shylock shekels. Mm-hmm. Reparations for what? Israel didn't even exist during World War II, and that's the last time Germany lifted a finger on anybody. So it doesn't really make any sense. They're going to pay reparations. It should be the Palestinians for the Hvara Agreement, sending all these European Jews down there to annex land and murder people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, by the way, over here, we, in each of our political parties, we have decided to gather one slogan or phrase, which is, each Palestinian is a comrade, the same enemy, same barricade.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, we
Yeah, I mean, always people say we're all Palestinians now. We used to say we're all Indians now. Because if you look at it, like, they seriously think, what do the Israeli squatters call themselves? Settlers. Like, just call them pilgrims. I mean, they're settlers. They're squatting on land for racial exclusivity. And Palestinians are like the new Indians. Like, the Israeli snipers can just sit there and shoot their children, and nothing happens. The media won't even talk about it. They can shoot medics. They can kill members of the international press. And, you know, Saudi Arabia does that. Everyone loses their mind, and fine, screw Saudi Arabia, but Israel, when Jews kill people, it's not in the news, unless they kill other Jews. So there's your privileged class.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, because also what's been happening in Germany, like there are people supporting Saudi Arabia just to so supposedly help Israel or something like that. I have been seeing that on Twitter a couple of times before.
Saudi Arabia and Israel are joined at the hip. I mean, the Wahhabi cannon fodder that Israel has been using in Syria is completely provided, not completely, but mostly backed by Saudi Arabia. We've got these lunatic madrasas brainwashing young fighters, and they join groups like ISIS and Al-Nusra Front and Jandala. Al-Nusra Front is just an Israeli proxy army. These, the religious fanatics, whether they're Muslim, Jewish, whatever, they have a common predictable trend, which is to murder everyone that isn't them. And the military-industrial complex, they love this. The United States finances them both up to the hilt because they know they're going to cause conflict, and that's the whole point, is to cause war so you can get a bigger budget.
Yeah, also, in the last news, I believe it was President Trump who said, you know, we are in the Middle East because of Israel, and you wouldn't want Israel to go away, no?
That's the most honest thing a president has said about that issue, though, because they always say, oh, we're protecting oil interests or strategic interests or national security or, you know, you've heard it. Trump's just like, well, we're there because of Israel. Finally, he just admits it, you know? It's exactly why we're there. Of course it is.
Yeah, definitely.
But, you know, we wouldn't have to protect Israel if they didn't behave like lunatics.
Mm-hmm. Because they do have the Greater Israel Project, like an imperial project.
Yeah. I mean, it just the whole, their entire existence is just, God gave us land 3,000 years ago, so we can just kill all these people who have actually been living here for thousands of years, bring all our family down from Europe, a bunch of white people that call themselves Jews, to the Middle East. I put up this meme today. It was hilarious. It's this sunburned Israeli, and they pulled his shirt down a little bit, and his skin was pasty white, and he's pink everywhere else. He's like, my people evolved in the desert. Like, No, you're Polish, and you're white, and you just identify as Jewish. They came down and colonized an area, and they're like, we've been here forever, which is horseshit. And even if they had been, that doesn't mean you can kill all the other people who have also been there the whole time. I mean, you couldn't kick out the... I mean, a lot of people lived in that spot for a long time, and there has always been some Jews, around 3-5%. The population has been Jewish since biblical times, but overwhelmingly, they've been Arab, or they've either from Egypt or Philistines, which is the Palestinians, the Canaanites, before that, you had the Phoenicians and so on. And, you know, a lot of people moving. You just don't base property rights on genetics and hereditary claims. If you did, we'd have to rearrange the entire map. I mean, it's especially going back millennia. That's so stupid. But that's the actual claim. God is a real estate agent, and we're allowed to have this land because of a fictional character called King David who killed Goliath with the sling and blah, blah, blah. Like, that is their official claim to the territories, is fairy tales.
Yeah, because, by the way, I was listening during the week, I was listening to a philosopher from Argentina, and he said that, you know, if these people want something from Argentina or from Chile or for whatever country that we have over here, they are just going to supposedly find a document, you know, that proves that the resources of the land or something that is there belongs to them and was given to them by God.
Yeah. Well, the Pope did give all the area to Portugal and Spain, right?
Mm-hmm.
So there's your document for Europeans to take the rest of Argentina, Chile, what have you. I mean, the whole place speaks Spanish or Portuguese for a reason. He came over and murdered a whole continent full of people. I mean, outside of Paraguay, which is, I think, the only majority native state that remains, it's all minimal mixed and or less pure genocide. That's a real genocide, far larger than the Holocaust, but that's okay because Germany didn't do it, so it's only bad when you lose.
Well, over here
the winner,
the other countries that do have a lot of native population would be Bolivia, Paraguay, my country, Peru, and Ecuador to an extent. And
Bolivia and Peru, because of the altitude, avoided disease. But a lot of the natives that are in Bolivia and Peru fled there from somewhere else, right? They're not even the native to that spot. They were native somewhere and fled to the areas where I'm getting away from the coastline, essentially, isn't it? Yeah, I mean,
what happened was actually two phenomenons. The first phenomenon was you're correct. The first phenomenon was some people fleeing from there, but the second phenomenon was that some people actually did stay and did make a pact, so to speak, with the Spanish, and they became a new chaste within the new system, and some did intermarry, and that's how mestizos came to be.
Yeah. Also, the Spanish couldn't penetrate High Peru and Low Peru or Bolivia and Peru because smallpox doesn't survive at that altitude, and that was the biggest weapon, was disease. But even with guns, you can't just kill everyone. Like, it's unfeasible. So they had an investigation.
Yeah,
and there was a lot of strategic marriages, which I don't blame them. And that's how you survive.
Mm-hmm.
They certainly killed enough on their way there, though.
Mm-hmm. Also,
the entire Caribbean is gone. There are no Caribbeans left. 100% gone. You just have a few words in the language. That's about it.
Also, something else that I want to talk about is that there is a supposed native population within the south of Argentina and Chile called the Mapuches. And mm-hmm. they proclaim themselves that they want an ethno state for themselves, but the problem with the people is that they are tied with a Freemasonry lodge from the UK, from Bristol, actually. I don't recall mm-hmm. called the International Mapuche Link, and all the last names of the people are completely British. Well, British.
The other problem with that mm-hmm. is you already live inside a state called Argentina.
Mm-hmm.
You can't just secede and make an ethno state, especially when you're not even the ethnicity you pretend to be. I call those kind of people pretendians.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Pretend Indians.
Yeah.
It's the same with the casino culture in North America. It's all Jews. And they're like, well, I'm 1/164th Native American or something. And like Trump kicked them out. He's like, I have more Indian blood than you do. And you're not putting casinos here unless you do it in Atlantic City, which I own, and he can be part of my project. You know, just, they, no one cares about it. Like these ethnic or environmental, or they find some excuse, but it's always about business interest.
Yeah, every time. Yeah, it's always about the money. Follow the money.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, also...
Cui bono, right?
Yeah, but what I wanted to discuss during this conversation was that how this situation came to be, you know, because it wasn't always like this. You weren't always the experiment and Big Bang lab for this foreign power, which is Israel. You know, how did this happen?
After, well, they took over the United States after killing Kennedy.
Mm-hmm.
They had their first Jewish president with Lyndon Johnson, and they had shared intelligence between the Mossad and CIA. The CIA didn't exist until World War II, when it kind of morphed out of the USS. And it became its own sort of quasi-corporate conglomerate government, sort of like the East India Tea Company had been to Britain,
mm-hmm.
where... they go around toppling, nation states for commercial interests of this sort of insider clique. And the Zionist state, for one, you have a lot of Americans will side with Israel, and they don't have to necessarily be Zionist Christians. It's just simply, given that they're presented two sides, the Jewish take on it and Muslim,
mm-hmm.
and it's simply they're more familiar with Judaism because it's incorporated in the Bible and Christianity, and they just pick the side they're more familiar with, and they don't know about all the atrocities that are happening over there. They just sort of like believe the first thing they hear and side with the Jews because they know them better, and that's a lot of votes. And until the internet, you just couldn't get any information to these people about, you know, the sniper shootings and the house demolitions and arson and, annexation, all that. The fact that they even build settlement steps. Most people, I would say, even till like the year 2000, had no idea that was happening. Not a clue.
Mm-hmm. For example...
And, you know, it's ethnic nepotism. It's the way you kick over the media.
Like, yeah.
If you have in-group preference and others do not, then over time, you'll end up with whatever industry you target because all you have to do is hire each other and no one else. And if other people are basing it on merit or worse, they're trying to diversify just for the sake of it, then they will lose the reins of powers. And the moment it gets to someone who is engaging in ethnic nepotism, then that ethnic group will take over that industry. And once you have media, everything else falls in line.
Mm-hmm. Because there is this book called Decline of the West by Oswald Spengler. And Spengler mm-hmm. says that actually, free media doesn't exist in, you know, neutral, calling neutral media doesn't exist because...
Oh, no.
Or it's
science media. You can look at, even on the local level, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the internet has provided us with this. So you'll see, like, how deep control is. They're issued a talking point, and they're even given the sentences to say and everything. And you'll see all these different local channels, which are all over the United States on different cities and stuff. And they'll all say the exact same phrase to the letter. You know, oh, blah, 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 blah. And you go to another channel and they're saying the same thing, same thing, same thing, same message.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way they all independently phrase things the same way. They just assume if you're watching Wavy TV 10 in Virginia that you're not watching Channel 4 or Texas or whatever, but then the internet can grab all that and compare, and you see that, wow, they got a top-down order, and they all repeated the same message. that you could get tighter control and than that. There is zero independence on televised mass media. Mm-hmm. It's ZOG, top to bottom. There's a journalist recently, this is Lamont Hill, this is his first name, Marcus, I think. He was fired from CNN because he supported Palestine and he supported the boycott movement against Israel. So they just fired him. And they said it's anti-Semitic.
Mm-hmm.
Since when is it anti-Semitic to oppose Israel? Israel's a country. Am I anti-Asian if I oppose North Korea or anti-Korean or whatever? Of course not. It's a state. But that's how they view it. I was banned from this company called Vimeo. It's the second biggest one after YouTube. And I got all my videos erased, and they took 2 months' worth of profits, about $5,000. They just kept it and erased all my stuff. And I didn't break any of their guidelines. They just said my criticism of Israel, they considered to be equivalent to anti-Semitism.
Mm-hmm. By the way, I was talking to a couple of Chilean friends, and they gave me some information that George W. Bush wanted to pass a law that says that
right, and AIPAC's been pushing that forever. And the thing is, though, like, if you want to boycott something or not, like, you can't force people to buy something from someone else. If I don't want to buy from Israel, you can't know if I'm doing that because it's a company in Israel, or maybe I just don't like that company. Maybe I think the product sucks, whatever. Like, it's an unenforceable thing. But what they're trying to do is say, anybody that supports this BDS movement, and let's face it, there's no S. It's just boycotts and divestment. Only governments can sanction, so that's kind of ridiculous. But if you're divesting or boycotting, it's anti-Semitic. So I'm like, wait, so what's the alternative? You saying I have to invest? Are you saying I have to buy their goods? Is that prejudice? I mean, I don't have to buy something I don't want to buy, and I don't have to invest in something that I think is unethical. And what's ironic is they'll have these divestment movements from, say, like Burma or something like that, because of their abuses. And it's the same companies. It's Caterpillar and HP. And all that. It's all the same. So on one side, it's, you know, okay. And the other, it's not. Anti-Semitism, I agree with Gilad Osman. It's whatever racist Jews don't like. And that's what they just call it, anti-Semitic.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I completely agree with that.
I mean, it's like, oh, we're just shooting kids in the face, but you don't criticize that, or you hate Jews in general.
Yeah.
No, I don't hate Jews. I hate what you're doing, which is shooting kids in the face.
Yeah, there was, talking about the kids and the shootings, there was a rabbi, or rabbi, I don't know how it is pronounced. A rabbi said that it's okay to kill kids if you can prove that they are going to grow up in order to kill you. I don't remember
that. Oh boy, yeah, you can prove what any kid's going to grow up to be, can't you? I mean, you're a killer. You're killing kids. So is it okay to kill Jewish kids then if you know they're going to grow up to shoot your kids? I mean, wow. What that, of course, that would come from a rabbi.
Mm-hmm.
I find religious leadership to be the most psychotic.
Yeah, in this time and era, it's much worse.
How are you going to prove someone's going to grow up and do anything? I mean, come on.
Yeah,
you can get brothers and sisters from the same household that have all kinds of different range of occupation and whatever. You don't know who's going to be a killer or not. It's super rare. It's like 1/100,000 in the population that becomes a murderer.
Mm-hmm. Also,
unless you're a Zionist, then you get paid to do it.
Yeah, what I wanted to say that it was going back to the infiltration techniques that they were using over here. They didn't use that; they use a proxy, which is there are two actually. Number one was the Freemasonry. Freemasonry is kind of big a big deal over here. You know, you cannot criticize Freemasons, or you are a conspiracy theorist, you are Alex Jones, basically, but it's bullshit. You know, because if we go to the pragmatical side of it, it is just a network that actually have ties to foreign powers, which are mostly UK, France, or United States. So in that way, they are traitors because they are conspiring with people that are overseas, that they have their own interests, and their interests are not the interest are not the interests of my country or of my people. So in the pragmatically speaking, we can actually tackle that down. And the second one was the infiltration within the churches, within the in my country specific, mm-hmm. with the Opus Dei. The Opus Dei is supposedly the elite of the Catholic Church within a nation, and they subverted it. They started to put money, you know, started to do the nepotism thing within other mm-hmm. with other different issues, and that's how they subverted the two main they use these people as their two main proxies. But in
they have a third proxy.
Mm-hmm, but in 2001. Or to the 2000s, yeah, they actually on the eve of 9/11, close to that, there was a man that came over here that was he became president in 2001, Alejandro Toledo. He was married to a Jewess named Elian Karp, and with her, mm-hmm. They came Israeli investors, and they started to invest in industries such as mining, such as energy, and if I recall correct, some also oil, some oil companies. They started to invest in these three main industries. And also they brought reporters.
Well, you know, one of the dancing Israelis from 9/11, they had a phone number from a drug dealer in Argentina. He claimed to get hash from her, but the narco traffic from mm-hmm. South America was helping finance the entire operation off the books. That's where they were using, kind of like the U.S. uses heroin from Afghanistan and all to pay ISIS. The Israelis were peddling ecstasy, about $80 million worth, one huge cell in New York, one huge cell in Los Angeles. But the majority of the moving company money in front said they were using. And the reason why they're spying on the DEA with art students was narco traffic from South America to Florida.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they
that's
were
using. That about too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they were using banks from the Caribbean islands.
Pam Geller. That's how they paid Andre Bravin Breivik, who killed 72 children who were at a Palestinian rally in Norway. They just, and the oil ministry was also bombed the day after it decided not to send oil to Israel.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, there was talking about that. There was this supposed Israeli hero that actually was a terrorist. Do you recall his name?
What's that?
And
a terrorist. Where?
An Israeli hero that was actually a terrorist.
They're all terrorists. But Levin was, there was an older Israeli man, I think he was on flight 93, but mm-hmm. He was useless at that point. I mean, he's done most of his work 30 years ago, you know. But he was on 93 because Ali Al Jarrah, Zaid Al Jarrah, and Youssef Al Jarrah were a clique, you know. And so Zaid Al Jarrah is on Flight 93 that went down in Pennsylvania, but his first cousins, two of them, are Israeli spies. And one of them was in Lebanon, and his uncle, a little bit wasted from celebrating George Bush, but he was part of the cell that was spying on Hezbollah and kept tabs on Abu Nidal, who was the ever relocating pretext. He's in Iran, and he's in Iraq, and he's supposed to be part of the PLO as a way of discrediting them. And they blame the entire Lockerbie affair, the Pan Am that was blown up in Scotland, on this group. And somehow they're like, oh, yeah, Nadal's in Libya, too. So they have a reason to bomb Libya. And they put up their own transmitter in there and then quote their own bullshit. It's just all they ever fucking do is lie. Mm-hmm. Full of deception. But no, the Gaulle's group linked straight to a 9/11 hijacker's uncle. And that guy's two sons, which are cousins of Ziad and Al-Jarra, were current spies for the Israeli state. So, like, you have first cousins in the Mossad, and you're supposed to be a 9/11 pilot, and your uncle is also in the Mossad and a politician, and his spot has been one since like the 80s. Come on.
Mm-hmm.
They did it.
Yeah, definitely. Because supposedly Trump, when he was going to be elected, he said that he was going to reveal this declassify the information from 9/11.
Well, that, I mean, once he got in, they're like, yeah, if you want a bullet in the head, you can do that. But he even talked about the dancing, quote-unquote, Muslims across the Hudson River. Which, you know, anybody that looks that up is going to figure out they weren't Muslim, but they're Jewish, and they're from Israel, and they were celebrating and filming the first plane hitting, as well as the second, and worked for a front company.
Mm-hmm.
Whose owner is an official suspect in 9/11, according to our own FBI, Dominic Suter, and his wife, who both fled to Israel, by the way. So what Trump did was, like, by now he had, by, you know, or even by the election, you're talking more than a decade after 9/11, he had to know they're Jewish. Mm-hmm. Dan Rather's reported on it, and others reported on it. It says Middle Eastern men, and so people just assumed Muslim. But no, Joran Schmel and Sivan Kirsberg and Paul Kirsberg and Oded Elmar and Omar Mamari were all Jews, and only three of them were dancing. The other two got picked up later at White Glove Movers with this lady named, Karen Isbal. Karen is spelled weird, though. And she was also one of the Israeli art students. Lived right across the street from Doric Towers where these guys were spotted celebrating. With two other ladies, and they were also art students. And this is all on Cryptome, and I have all these files in this movie called Empire Mass that said it's spelled out. And we're getting ready to release another edition of that, myself and this guy named Nelson Martin, who's a 9/11 researcher that saw my film and then has been, like, steadfast on finding new information. And boy, we have some goodies to reveal later, but you know, with the deplatforming and all that, I feel like I've been on the defense all month.
Mm-hmm.
It's just been a pain in the ass. But 9/11 is a hard topic to get into because there's so much goofy nonsense about it. Same as JFK.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you said, like, if anyone says Freemason, because there are Freemasons that are just harmless guys, they all think everyone's like that, and so therefore it's all just, you know, horseshit or Alex Jones stuff. But that's not always the case. You know, and that the way they hide a lot of these things is to create some sort of similar faction with outlandish crap and then debunk it and say, oh, see, it's all like that. And that's what they do to 9/11. They're like, oh, yeah, you think they're holograms or aliens or missiles or whatever, thermite, this and that. And that they throw the baby out with the bathwater.
Mm-hmm.
Classic tactic, gaslighting people. And it's not hard, because, I mean, you got paranoid types that think the Earth is flat and that there's earthquake machines, and it's, you know. And
yeah.
So every single school shooting is fake and whatever. And so it's hard to, you got to basically disassociate with all of those people first before you can get your foot in the door to even talk about 9/11 or the war in Iraq or, you know, the ISIS in Syria, which is actually the Al-Qaeda is funded by a bunch of foreign states, or Iran-Contra, or although Iran-Contra, I think it's because of Iran-Contra that they decided to, like, up the propaganda, because that one really fell apart. Huge national trial. But from Iran-Contra onward, they've been very careful to put the misinformation out right away to discredit people who are looking into these things. And, you know, the last gassing in Aleppo, what was it, like 5 days ago, 4 days ago or something?
Yeah.
Did anybody believe, I'm like, everyone knows the rebels use the gas.
Mm-hmm.
And, but because they shot it with artillery, so it's obviously it's from Idlib, the territory they totally control, and they shot it into Western Aleppo, where's the media? It's like, oh, when Assad is even accused of gassing, you'll do a cruise missile strike. But when clearly these, we'll call them rebels, I call them terrorist mercenaries,
yeah,
are shooting and gassing people, nothing happens. They don't want to talk about it. You know what they talk about? They talk about, like, celebrity gossip. And, you know, whatever story somewhere, somebody did something, but not going to talk about Aleppo.
Yeah, but by the way, there is an actress, activist, an actress from Bolivia. I talked to her, like, a week ago, and she's in Aleppo. She's doing brave stuff. She's uncovering all of this stuff. She's recording, doing live streams and all this, on the truth about these supposed rebels, you know.
Does she speak English? Because I'd like to interview her.
Yeah, she speaks awesome. English and Spanish. I am going to interview her in Spanish. Her name is Carla Ortiz. I will give you the link to her tweet.
Yeah, that'll be wonderful.
Yeah, definitely, because you the idea of this channel.
I'm a fan of Garcia Alvarez from Guatemala, and I'm also a fan of Yannette Garcia, who's not a journalist, but one hell of a weather lady in Mexico.
you mean Gloria Alvarez?
Yeah, well, Gloria Alvarez is for real, like talking to the UN Parliament. But my joke was Yannette Garcia on top of that, just because she's hot. But as a journalist, as someone that just tell it like it is, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, she's basically libertarian, pretty much in line. Mm-hmm. Trade, not aid, and all that. She's pretty cool, from what I know.
Mm-hmm.
But Yannette Garcia though.
Yeah,
makes me want to see what's the weather like in Mexico? Hot again? Yeah, thought so. Let's just check just in case.
Yeah, because
we had a weather lady like that in Richmond, Virginia in the 90s. Everybody, like, I was in Charlottesville. Uh-huh. Sometimes we get the rich weather for whatever, like if there's gonna be a lot of snow or something because it's the capital. And every young high school kid was tuning in and be like, that weather lady on the Richmond Weather Channel, I don't even know her name. She was like, you know, she was on the same level as that Mexican lady. It was just like, dang, you know.
Yeah.
It was ridiculous. That's what you call a liger. It's when you mix a lion and a tiger and you get something better than both. That lady. Yeah. You got level 1 to 10 and then you have ligers. And then you have Asians.
Yeah, we deviated a little bit, but as I was saying, you know, the idea of my channel is to bring people from around the continent that can provide us with interesting information, or whether it be or political commentary, or where they be a dissident party within their countries, you know, to have solidarity between us, because we are being invaded by a foreign power that actually doesn't care about our well-being. They don't.
And, you know, like, I was on a podcast this morning talking about Latin America, talking about South American issues in particular, and it's like, they just don't give a fuck. I'm like, do you not realize this is also in your own interest? You just don't see the connection yet, but
mm-hmm.
They don't really care. And we need more networking. Like,
yeah,
between journalists and the issue is the language barriers, I guess, but I don't know, like, something's got to give, and the internet provides us this opportunity.
Yeah, definitely.
There's no way I'd call you from Japan.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, I was talking about that with this guy Eric Stryker. I believe you have talked to the guy previously.
Oh, yeah, that's his, like, code name. Yeah, I've talked to him a few times. A friend of mine's a friend of his as well.
Oh, interesting.
Here in New York, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And we were discussing about this, that having solidarity between our countries, because at the end of the day, they are orchestrating a big blow in South America.
Don't divide the goy.
Exactly.
I'm explaining.
Diana, soy ocupado. Soy
entrevista. Had not toppled Gaddafi in Libya. If she hadn't had a coup in Libya,
pero ahorita soy ocupado.
There wouldn't be a migrant caravan, and there wouldn't be half as many refugees in Europe.
Awesome.
But you know, Obama, the spineless president,
con con visa.
State Department, do whatever she wanted, and she destabilized one of the strongest African leaders.
Me manda mensaje.
Strongest. And she totally flipped Honduras upside down. She flipped Haiti upside down. I mean, Haiti was so bad that Oxfam, which is sort of like one of the better groups, allegedly, they're down there engaged in bestiality, having little girls raped by dogs and things. Like, holy hell, right? It's already the poorest country in the hemisphere. And they just, these international, you know, so-called aid organizations, just went down and literally raped that place.
Yeah.
And then they've turned Honduras back into a narco state, like it has been since the 30s, really. But, you know, as soon as they come up for air, they just shove their head back down in the water. And it's the State Department. I mean, that's been their playground since 1934.
Yeah. I was talking to some Mexicans about that. And the issue with Honduras is that it was an experimental state where they...
the first one, Korea.
Exactly. They privatized everything, and they, as we have been seeing in the... there was this lady of foreign relations from Honduras. You know, we see the usual suspects flag hanging behind her. You know, with the star and everything, and it's like they have an alliance, you know, with the Sayo powers and also the capital investors.
Yes,
that is what
before United Fruit or any of that, you had Star Furniture and Yala Lorex and these fuckers. And believe it or not, this is also in my film The Empire in Mass, because I actually start Central and South America to explain 9/11. And people are like, why? I'm like, well, you got to hear it from the beginning to see this relationship between black budgets, intelligence agencies, and narco states, because they all tie together. And that's what allows it, the whole thing, to continue, is these illegal black markets. That's how you can get groups like Al-Qaeda and stuff on the world stage. You can't do it without a lot of money. And you can't really openly go to most governments and say, hey, can we have $1 billion to pay terrorists to kill Americans? They're going to say, fuck you. But if you use narco money, you can do a lot of things. And Honduras was the first in the experiment. And they would beta test on American Indian reservations. But Honduras, and then they had the School of the Americas moved in. And so they start messing with Guatemala, Nicaragua, a lot of Central American states. And the School of the Americas has some other fancy name now, some restaurant in the queue, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. But it's just a mercenary training camp. I mean, they've even got Colombian and El Salvadorian mercenaries fighting in Yemen on behalf of the UAE and Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, these were the people that over...
doing for a paycheck, of course.
Yeah. These were the people that overthrew Gaddafi because they were speaking in Spanish.
It was El Salvadorian death squads from the same commanders from all the way back in the 80s. Some of them are still there, and they do it for the money, and they're good at it. I mean, they're El Salvador, Colombia, and not to be fucked with. Like, they have very good trained killers, but about it, though. I wouldn't want them building my train station or anything, but if you got to get rid of somebody, pretty good place to get some hired guns. Hillary Clinton knows that. Just ask Seth Rich.
Also,
I gotta keep so quiet about that. I almost slipped up right there.
Something else that I wanted to mention was that you did say that in 9/11 there was an Argentinian Jewish connection, didn't you?
Yeah. Moroccan too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I want to expand on this. Is that in 1994 there was a bombing when the it would be like an APAC.
It was a year after the 93 World Trade Center bombing.
Yeah, the AMIA, A-A-M-I-A. Yeah, A-M-I-H. Yeah, that's correct. And then what happened was that there was bombing. They killed all the leadership, and the other two were kicked out because they were not in the same tune as Israel wanted them, because they were more peaceful, they were more pro-Argentinian, and they did this violent coup against the AMIA. And what happened then was that it happened an Israeli infiltration. They started to come in and they replaced the leadership, and they actually subverted the Jewish community that was living peacefully in Argentina. And they subverted them, and they are now pro-Israel, anti-Argentina, anti-South America, and all that.
They led Argentina to one of the world's biggest hyperinflation states by 2000 the world has ever seen, until Zimbabwe.
Yeah.
They completely bankrupt the country.
And they didn't stop there. Because in Uruguay, what we see is that they wanted to do what they did in El Salvador, but because there are powers like that can stop them, like for example my country Argentina, Chile, Brazil. What happened was that they want to use Uruguay as their testing lab, but for social experiments. That's why we have the marijuana legalization, and then also they are trying to legalize pedophilia and all that stuff over there. It's really, really fucking crazy, insane. And this is what they are doing right now in our...
The Israeli ambassador to Brazil got caught in a massive pedophilia ring. He only got like 11 seconds on the U.S. news. But the way he got in trouble was there were pictures of these pool parties. And it was the pool at the fucking embassy. That's how stupid he is. In the background of some of these photos where these kids are getting raped and sold. And it got, I don't know how much media it got down there, but it got nothing in the U.S. media. And the way they reported it was like 11 Russians and 11 Americans. 22 Jews, by the way. But they didn't mention that. Just Russian and an American from New Jersey, right? And to be like, oh, a bunch of white guys. Like, no. They didn't say that. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, the only people who did point that out were like these hyper-militant, like, white racist groups, which is like, well, you know, even though they're telling the truth, because there's such a stigma towards, you know, their message in general, it was dismissed, right?
Mm-hmm.
But... you know, whatever motives they had, the reason why they're reported, it doesn't matter. It's still true. Like, that's what happened. They were raping a bunch of little kids. And the Caribbean is known for, especially in Brazil before that, for human trafficking, mm-hmm. Where kids just disappear. And besides the UK, the UK and maybe Saudi Arabia, the Israel is number one in that data.
Mm-hmm.
The US would be like, probably fourth or something. I've never really ranked these things. It's just going by how prevalent it is. But dude, the United Kingdom is off the chain with the man, boy, loving. It is unreal. Like how deep and how high up it goes to cover these things up over there.
Yeah, because there was this guy, Jimmy Savile from the BBC.
Yeah. He's the one that got caught, right?
Exactly.
Thousands of people.
Yeah. Yeah, because...
But that shit's going on right now in Hampstead, London, right? I mean, right now. I know that for a fact.
Yeah.
But who do you tell? Like, okay, it's their government.
Because it's also their high class, the what was it the you know
right. there, well, the, people, the, money.
The yeah the lords
that's,
all
that's
these people.
Why I think they covered up the Rotterdam scandal, which was a bunch of Pakistanis for once.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's like if you go down, if I go down, so do you, kind of situation.
Yeah.
And half them cops and stuff are doing it.
Yeah, yeah, because
they can't say anything.
Also, this guy Mark Collette did uncover this on one of his videos.
I'm supposed to interview him later this week.
Oh, interesting. He's a good person. He really has interesting takes to a lot of things.
Well, yeah, I mean, I get all the black sheep on my show, so.
yeah.
The thing is, like, these people, like, we're not going to agree on everything, I already know, but they are some of the only ones, I guess, because they're already shit on for their other beliefs. So it doesn't matter. They got nothing to lose. But they're some of the only ones that will report on all these, you know, rapes. And like, there was some story today, this kid, he had like 52 bites on him from Somali children who are, you know, kids, little 3-4 year olds, they bite, right? He had bites all over his body.
Mm-hmm.
Like this white kid. It's like, fuck, dude, you bite someone once, you get timed out or sent home or whatever, you know? And they just let them maul this kid. And there's this other, like, alleged Syrian refugee who's going to school in England, and some guy was bullying him because he was harassing this white girl. They filmed the second half of it, and he ends up with, like, 71,000 pounds in donations because somebody poured water on his face or whatever. Like, I am 100% behind actual refugees from Syria, and I don't want war in Syria. I don't want war anywhere or any of that, but, you know, there's a culture out there of just like believe the minority no matter what.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm like, whoa, wait, or believe all women. I think that's the stupidest thing, believe all men. Like, take things case by case and sort it out and see what really happened before you start waving your finger. And not enough people doing that.
Yeah, exactly. I couldn't agree more. By the way, talking about this.
The point of that is Mark Collette gets all these dark stories. It was like, so-and-so raped, or so-and-so beaten by migrants, or so-and-so enjoys diversity, whatever. And I know people are like, will piss at him for, to be like, what are you, xenophobic, you racist, you blah, blah, blah. And maybe he is, and maybe he isn't. And it doesn't matter what his motives are. All these things happen. So that's news, you know?
Yeah, that's the truth as well. Truth shall prevail. You know, that's a good way to phrase it.
I hope so. I think it will, because the way they are deplatforming everybody so quickly, it shows fear.
Mm-hmm.
There's no reason, you don't have fear unless there's something to be afraid of.
Exactly. Yeah, I completely agree. But going back to our main topic, I wanted to ask you about the information on this infamous project for a new American century, developed by a think tank. Was it?
Yeah, PNAC.
Mm-hmm.
PNAC, well, you can ask whatever you want. I'll tell you about PNAC, that's fine. I've talked about that ad nauseum.
Okay.
PNAC, the Project for a New American Century, was an outgrowth of this clique of neoconservative Jews, mostly. Mm-hmm. Almost exclusively, actually. And these neocons have roots back with the Henry Scoop Jackson and Leon Strauss and Trotskyites. So they're all on the left, and then all of a sudden they're all on the right. The only thing that matters is whatever is, you know, against the goy and revolutionary, they're on the team that has power at the current time, right?
Mm-hmm.
And their idea was, they wrote a lot of policy papers, most of them anti-Iraq. But the most famous one probably was Rebuilding America's Defenses. And in that, they talked about the need for a new Pearl Harbor and racially specific bioweapons and all this other disgusting stuff. But I don't think that paper really deserves the same degree of attention as some of their other lesser known ones, because Jonestown never talked about them, which were titled things like How to Attack Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
They had Osama bin Laden's picture in their magazine article of July, so a month before 9/11, mm-hmm. July-ish, or 2 months. The July issue, which I guess we're coming in July, is got Osama bin Laden's picture on it, July 30th. So yeah, about a month. And in it, they talk about bin Laden and Saddam Hussein. And guess what else? Anthrax. Oh, and look at what happens. Suddenly, there's an attack by someone on September 11th, followed up by an anthrax attack, which, lo and behold, has notes that say, death to America, death to Israel. Praise Allah, 9/11. It's almost like BS, we're evil Muslims.
Yeah.
And then you got reports from originally James Woolsey, former CIA director, who communicated with Gary Schmidt and Fred Barnes of the Weekly Standard, which is the PNAC think tank sort of media wing, which is run by William Crystal and Robert Kagan, two prominent Zionist Jews. And they put out several papers like about anthrax and how it all comes from Iraq.
Okay.
Atta goes to Prague, that was one of theirs, that was Barnes, I believe. And they take this, they made up this lie saying that senior Iraqi officials met in Prague with Mohammed Atta, who's like the ringleader of all the pilots of the 9/11 cells. He was on flight 11 that crashed in the North Tower. He's the pilot. That's their story. And they're saying he met with senior Iraqi officials. Well, there was no meeting in Prague, and Atta never met with any Iraqi. But after the anthrax letters finally got opened, because they kind of jumped the gun, and then they're like, oh, yeah, yeah, by the way, at this meeting that where Atta met with the Iraqis, they passed anthrax to him. And we know because Israeli security forces witnessed the transfer. And that was in the build that was in Le Mans, that was in New York Observer, which is owned by Charles Kushner, by the way, who went to jail. He's one of the Holocaust builders, is what they nicknamed themselves. He went to jail for fraud and honey trapping and campaign finance illegal activities with Governor McGreevy, who he was blackmailing, and the Port Authority, who he's blackmailing, and then he tried to blackmail his brother-in-law, and that's where it all fell apart. But that's Donald Trump's son-in-law's product. And then, you know, they have all these links to the mafia. And I made this film about the Kushners called Trump's Zionist Ball and Chain,
mm-hmm.
which details all of that, like, wing of the shenanigans. So a little bit of that does tie to 9/11, because they brought up, guess who bought all this property across the Hudson River? You know, if these offices of the Twin Towers are physically destroyed, well, the next day, where do they go to work? They need some sort of real estate to operate out of. And lo and behold, somebody had like 50 million square feet of property just waiting for tenants to come from American Express and all the former businesses that used to be in the World Trade Centers. And it was Charles Kushner who had wiggled his way into becoming the Port Authority chair, or would have been, but then he got arrested for stuff like you just said. He never really got to exercise his power. Mm-hmm. But his son takes over, and now he's married to Trump's daughter, and blah, blah, blah. But anyway, there was no anthrax. Iraq didn't have mobile weapons labs with anthrax, and Colin Powell was just lied to, and Libby and Tenet, they lied to him. And but this is why my avatar has got a picture of Netanyahu holding up a picture of Colin Powell holding up a picture of mobile weapon labs, which is a cartoon.
Oh, okay.
Mobile weapons labs never existed. That's what that is. It was like the fucking lying on a lying on a lie. And he gets this mess. Is that anthrax lie that Barnes and Crystal and Kagan, Schmidt, you notice a pattern here, all lying about, was expanded on by Judith Miller in the New York Times, And Judith Miller was dating Louis Leibowitz, who is Cheney's chief of staff. They call him Louis Libby, who also gets in trouble for his own shit later. But they, he was a lawyer for Mark Rich, who worked for the Mossad and did the illegal wheat trades. And, oh, God, he's been on Interpol's most wanted list for a whole bunch of things he did. I mean, he ran Glencore, raped Africa, places like Zambia, stole all their copper, illegal arms trades, illegal, and think of something, he did it. You know, he's, and Bill Clinton gives him a pardon on his last hour in office, but whatever. So Powell goes to the UN and makes this speech about anthrax, and that became the legal reason to invade Iraq. Was, oh, they're in violation of UN Resolution 1441, which stipulates it can't have mass, weapons of mass destruction. Anthrax is a weapon of mass destruction, therefore we allowed to invade you. The whole thing was made up by a bunch of Zionist Jews from PNAC who wrongly tied 9/11 and Iraq together, when Iraq had nothing to do with 9/11. Israel did, no. And Iraq ends up getting invaded. That was all from PNAC. And then you can go, I have this movie for free. It's called War by Deception,
mm-hmm.
after the Mossad motto, Deception Doer. And it goes over a bunch of PNAC papers and what happened. And the Wolf Witches and the Pearls and the fights and the OSP and that whole story. Like, that's online for free. But the really in-depth film is called The Empire Unmasked. And I do sell that one, but it's like, guys, that's how I pay to do research and everything else in the future. So, and that one's, it's 5 fucking hours long. But mm-hmm. you don't ever have to watch another 9/11 anything after that, because you just sit back and go, oh my God, they did it. I present so much evidence, it's overkill. And I don't get into spookadoo nonsense and speculation about physics, and that I'm just talking about documents, people in the towers who shouldn't have been illegally doing work, employing the fire prevention systems, all the moving company stuff. All everything is in there, and I tied it smoothly into Iraq, into the Mujahideen in Afghanistan, Iran-Contra, Syria. It's one long like timetable of Jewish fuckery, and it's called The Empire Unmasked. And a shameless plug, but I think everybody should watch it. If you're poor and you can't, then just watch War by Deception. You can YouTube War by Deception, and there's a 2-hour and 40-minute version, a 3-hour version, and even a like 14-minute condensed one if you're a generation ADHD. And I have it in French and I have it in English. If you want to help me make that in Spanish, that would be fucking awesome.
Oh, I can.
My Spanish sucks. I bet you could, yeah. I mean, it might be easier to go from the French to Spanish than English, but I don't know.
No, we don't hear used to English. We are exposed to that in... regular.
I meant like the timing, but yeah. Go for it.
Yeah.
I mean, subtitle it. I got it on open subtitles, so if anybody, it would take a while because it's a pretty long movie, but it's fucking great to have it in Spanish.
Yeah,
definitely. That's the language I wanted. I want Spanish and I want Chinese. That's the ones I want.
Mm-hmm.
Most people.
Also, something else, Mr. Dawson. I want to ask you 3 questions. Number one, in 2000, yeah, in the year 2000, Iraq, the Secret Service of Iraq did make a document detailing that the family, the House of Saud from Saudi Arabia, were actually Sephardic Jews. That's number one, and
everybody knows that.
yeah, but
everybody knows, I think. Yeah, they
because,
are.
Because that might have something to do why did they chose to have Iraq as number one, public enemy number one.
Mm-hmm. I think they've been chomping at the bit for Iraq since the 90s.
Okay.
So we already had the oil, they had the oil for food program. They got invaded in the early 90s. And by 98, they're already making up lies to invade them. Because actually all they did, all PNAC did was take bullshit that had already said 97, 98, 99 and recycled it like it was new information. Like, oh, he's got bombs under the palaces. That's one of the William Sapphire said, and the total shit. And it was just a lie that already had been written by Robert Kagan in the 90s. And so they wanted Saddam because he was supporting Palestinians. That was one reason. And they realized that this is the biggest resistance they have to being able to annex land from their neighbors was Iraq, followed by Iran. Now, Ariel Sharon, he wanted to get Iran first. But Netanyahu and most Israelis agreed that Saddam was the much bigger threat, and he had to go. And they were right. Iraq was definitely the strongest military in the Middle East that was opposed to Israel. And but there was no way they're going to fight with America and like 50 other countries. Like, not a chance. And so a lot of them surrendered. But Saddam's plan, because he's like, look, we're not gonna fight the American Air Force.
Mm-hmm.
This is a waste of, you know. What we're gonna do is let them come in. They're gonna occupy. That's when the real battle, guerrilla warfare starts. And that's what they did.
Yeah.
Which is smart. Why give the Americans a
quick battle?
They'll fucking ruin you. But in urban warfare and guerrilla warfare, that's a way to slowly bleed them, bleed their treasury, kill some of his soldiers, injure some of them. That's more tit for tat.
Mm-hmm.
And he had planned that. Saddam had planned that all out. He's like, they all killed me, but at a price.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what he did.
The other two questions that we have over here is by a guy named White Sharia now, please. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, he has
a question.
No, he has two questions. He says,
okay.
Dr. Abner Cohen claims Israel has had anthrax and poisoned Palestinian water supply in the Nakba. And if you are familiar with that, because that may have ties to 9/11.
I don't think you would poison water with anthrax. It's a spore.
Oh.
I mean, if you can do better, they have better stuff. So just saying, like, Israel's got legit biological weapons. So mm-hmm. I don't think they'd be playing around with that, because anthrax is something you can genetically trace back to an origin pretty easily. So yeah, they would use something else if they were going to do that. A lot of the water supply, a lot of them just don't even have water, period. They keep them on a ration for that. But they have had plans to create biospecific weapons to take out Arabs. So that's not beyond the pale.
Okay.
A lot of them, they enjoy the $2 a week Palestinian labor, so that's why they haven't wiped them out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. And also,
it's kind of like killing all your slaves. Well, then you don't have any slaves.
Yeah, he's also asking if Valerie Plame, Joe Wilson were the good guys.
I mean, Valerie Plame and Joe Wilson are on our side, but like, she worked for Brewster Jennings and Associates, which was sort of one of these press companies the CIA used to finance agents who were involved in the CIA's wing tracking nuclear weapons proliferation. And so by outing her, they outed her company, which means everyone else working for that company is suspect and lost their covert status.
That was the real story.
And it's kind of Joe Wilson, like, raw story, counterpunch, you know, wrestling media, was a totally limited angle. One of the only guys that got it right was Justin Raimondo from antiwar.com. So if you Google the Plame affair, Justin Raimondo, you'll get a much more clear picture of what went down. But it's like, yeah, they're on our side in the sense that, like, you know, that, but they're not like, I don't know, they're not like Ed Snowden or something. Like, they were out for their own interest, you know. She got outed, lost her job, so they didn't go through that.
Oh, okay, I see. But, what I wanted now to discuss was that what is at stake for the future, which is they want a conflict between the two Americas. They want a conflict between North and maybe Latin America in general, or maybe just South America, because I don't know if you are familiar with the Andina plan.
Oh no, no, no! I think you're dead. You're absolutely correct. Like, this caravan bullshit is just like primer. You know what I mean? Getting hostilities warmed up. And I don't know, what is that noise?
Sorry, it's outside.
It's some Aztec whistle or something. The hell was I saying? Oh yeah, I don't think Mexico's going to be on the southern team though. Like, but anyway, the Clash of Civilizations is an old Jewish plot, and they want Muslims and Christians to fight Europe. There's even a plan to blow up the Dome of the Rock and blame it on Christians to kickstart that one. But what I see is like, okay, all those things have been flushed out and like kind of discovered before they could pull the trigger. I see the big conflict coming from Ukraine towards Russia. And that's the most like scary thing to me, is there's no way ever, ever, ever Russia's going to give up the Black Sea. And what Ukraine recently did, sending three armed military ships through the strait without notifying Russia, which of course caused them to seize all three ships. Then they act like, oy vey, Russia's attacking, and they've got like 12-year-olds digging ditches for the incoming Russian invasion. That's not going to happen. But I can see them continuing to agitate, because what's Merkel saying and Macron saying? They're saying, oh, the EU needs its own army, right?
Yeah.
And why? Oh, there's this Russian threat. And who's going to provide the pretext? Yes, Ukraine. That's the shit. But that's the most possible one. Like, getting North and South America to fight each other, like, who the fuck in South America wants to do that?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that ain't going to end good, you know?
No.
See some people with me, but...
No, I am saying that they are planning that because they have, number one, they like I said, in the Andina plan, the political theory from Theodor Herzl, which is the Jewish state, Zionism. He says clearly that he has interest in Palestine and in Patagonia in Argentina, which is in the south, and they are using three elements in order to do this. The number one, they are using private investors buying land from in the south of Argentina and Chile. Number two, they are using like we were discussing earlier, these Mapuches supposedly, but they have ties to England, to Bristol, and it's completely you completely see the bullshit.
The Falkland Island disputes.
Exactly. They are using the Falkland Island issue, because they are trying to weaponize the Falkland Islands, and
China is doing the same shit over here in Asia, over Takashima and these different island disputes. It's got nothing to do with the fucking islands. I get it. Yep. And the third thing?
Yeah. Uh-huh. And the third thing is that they have invaded the triple border between Paraguay, Brazil, and Argentina. There are IDF troops over there. And they are also using their troops back in the south of Argentina. They are supposedly backpackers,
I just had a podcast with this Brazilian journalist about that, that issue. yesterday my time, I guess it was still whatever, but I just talked about that with this guy.
Yeah, so they are using these three strategies in order to have the new ethno state down there, and because of that,
Paraguay had a coup d'etat, 2013, something like that. I mean, I did this interview with Pepe Escobar about it. Forget the year. This is my celebratory drinks from George Bush kicking the bucket are starting to hit me hard. I'm becoming useless. I can't remember dates. I've lost my autism advantage, so I might have to tap out here soon.
This is what they want, and because they know that we are not going to stand by watching as they grab land from my brothers. Like, everyone is going to get involved.
We are going to take their asses. Because they, I know, you, but see, they don't, the, historically, over 109 times, let's say, hypothetically, they always overplay their hand.
Yeah.
They win themselves to death. And it's the hubris every time. They're throwing boomerangs, and that boomerang's already on its way back. And they fucked up in the Middle East so bad. Syria has S-300s. You know, Iran and Lebanon and Iraq and Syria are tighter than they ever been since, like, PICO or something. You know, Russia had called Ukraine on its bluff, seized the ships, took the... I mean, they're fucked. They are sawing the tree branch they're sitting on, so what do? They go pick on Gaza. They go fuck with the Golan Heights a few days ago. And that was all ground-to-ground artillery. There was no Israeli aircraft involved in that. And I know, like, the pro-Syria media had the little shit victory dance saying we shot down an Israeli plane. No, they did not. Like, that group has been infiltrated by moles, and who are there just to discredit them. And they've fallen for hook, line, and sinker, which has caused a lot of those journalists to leave and join, like, ANC reporters or Al Masa or some other news organization that isn't infiltrated by moles, you know. Mm-hmm. But they do not see it, is what I'm saying. They always overestimate their abilities. They got 9 cards out of 10, and they just got to have that 10th one, and that's always the undoing. And I'm going to have shit. You think I'm celebrating now? Just wait, man. Israel's got an election coming. Rand Paul is, I mean, fucking, what a star, dude. Said, Israel's a first world country. Why should we give them foreign aid? That's an awesome way to package it. Like, they make lots of money. Why are we giving them more than any other country? 7 times as much as the entire continent of Africa, right? Why are we giving them money? Why are we giving foreign aid, period? But okay, I'm down with that. And then we've got the Senate rebelling against Saudi Arabia, saying, why are we at war with Yemen? What the fuck? And even Lindsey Graham is supporting this? I mean, this is a real backlash against Zionist power.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm loving every second of it. That's why you're freaking out.
Yeah.
Deplatforming everybody. Like, dude, I'll have a fully independent platform sometime in January.
Oh.
Like, I think so. I'm only like $500 away from my goal. I just sent the first like chunk of cash to these coders and stuff. So, like, that was today, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's happening. And if you ever need a place to have a voice, you just come. All are welcome.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Mr. Yeah. Dawson.
Not all, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I don't have that much bandwidth, but you know what I'm saying. All the good ones.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, man.
They're going down. That's how I see the future. They've done it to themselves again. And of course, they'll just say blame the typical things they blame. But whatever. There's only so many poop diamond stories you can tell. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
All right, man. Send me a recording of this. I got a tap. It's like 4:25 in the morning. But I know you invited me earlier, and George Bush died, and I was like, hell yeah. And we started celebrating, and it's Saturday here. And I just forgot. Sorry.
yeah, don't worry. By the way, I will also give you the contact of this Bolivian actress that I told you about. She's
absolutely, that'd be awesome.
Yeah, and also if you interview in this during the week, Marcolette, could you please tell him that he can send me a tweet or something? Because I wanted to
ask
him something. Yeah, okay. So, my
sounds good.
That should be all for now.
Yeah, I'll have to go back and see those interviews.
Mm-hmm.
I will promote you on all my, you know, channels and stuff. So,
yeah.
Thanks very much. It was a fun interview.
Mm-hmm.
And have a shot if it's not too early in the morning for the death of a tyrant.
No, definitely. I'm getting drunk tonight.
There you go. What you drinking?
Pisco.
Pisco?
Yeah, that's our national drink.
There you go. Sounds good, man. I'm having a, what the hell is this? It's like a lemon, it's like vodka lemon or something. I don't know. I drink what I can afford. I'd like to have some tequila or even Jack Daniels, but until I get my money from Super Chats, I got $5,000 stolen, you know. Mm-hmm. I'm drinking the bottom shelf plastic variety, so
yeah, well,
I can be David Cole for a few more days.
Yeah,
he's fun. I like David. It's just, but he is a drunk. Peace, man. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.